What do you call the intersection between a sovereign, omnipotent, omniscient, and eternal God as revealed to us in the Holy Scripture, His Word? What do you call this intersection of God and what we call the earth? A spinning rock covered with dirt, mixed with water and gases, created supernaturally to be inhabited by creatures that God put here. What do you call this intersection between God and man? I'm going to call it June 29th, 2008, 10 minutes to 7, for us, inside the sanctuary at Trinity Bible Church. The intersection between sovereign God and mankind. Let's bring it down a little bit closer. The intersection between God and you and me. So many times we start our days oblivious to what God wants to do with us each day. We want to think tonight about that point of intersection between God and our lives in particular. We want to combine these three ideas together. These three ideas mixed as God knows how is what we call life. These three ideas are time, place, and purpose. God, for all He is, and the Scripture tells us, He's past finding out. He's directing. He's involving you and me in His plan. It's called life. He adds a dimension to it when He opens our eyes that are blind and He gives us eternal life. This is exciting. This is what we have to enjoy every morning when our eyes are opened and we begin each day. Open your Bibles to Psalm 118. We're thinking of the intersection between a sovereign God and mankind. And we're going to call that life. The intersection of time, place, and purpose. And Psalm 118, verse 24, says it this way. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We want to look at this intersection between God and our lives through a telescope looking back. Back 2,488 years, more or less. 2,400 and plus or minus some. 480 years, more or less, before the birth of Christ. We're going to go to Shushan, a palace of the Medes and the Persians, to look at what was happening from the perspective of two people in particular, Mordecai and Esther. We want to look at the intersection of time, place, and purpose. And what the issues that Mordecai faced. He himself couldn't go into the king. His younger cousin, I always thought he was the uncle, but Scripture tells us they were cousins. He was an older cousin, sort of like an uncle. He had raised Esther. She was an orphan. He knew the risks. And then there's perspective Esther herself, personally, making decision about time, place, and purpose. And God is still interested in involving us in His purposes and plans in our time and wherever we are. That's what we want to examine tonight. God is still the same God as He was in the days of Esther and Mordecai. Problems are still the same. And I titled this message, Now is the Time to Act. If you would open your Bibles to Esther chapter 4, it's two books before Psalms, just before the book of Job. If you would follow along with me as I read out loud verses 8 to the end of the chapter, chapter 4 in the book of Esther. Now is the time to act. The scripture reads thus, And he gave him a copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king, and to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. Let me interject this before we continue reading. What we're finding, what's going on right now is they're separated. Esther is in the royal palace. Mordecai is on the street. They are sending messengers, giving instructions and saying, take this back. Esther is hearing what Mordecai is saying. She's listening. Then she sends a messenger back to Mordecai. And then he hears what she said. And then he responds and sends this back to Esther. This is the interchange that goes on. It happens two or three times. And so in verse 8, Mordecai is telling one of the servants, giving him instructions to take this copy of the decree that Haman had written, to show it to Esther and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go in unto the king and to make supplication unto him, and to make request before him for her people. The name of the messenger is in verse 9. And Hathach came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again Esther spoke unto Hathach and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come in unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter, that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house, more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou in thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also in my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to gather together. We thank you for salvation in Christ Jesus. We thank you for His living Word, His eternal Word, that we have before us, that we can understand in our own language, which word the Holy Spirit can quicken and guide us so that we might be and become and do as God delights for His glory. To that end, we pray, Lord, that You would guide our thoughts tonight, that we could understand Your great heart and desire to make life in its fullness. Christ has come to give us life and life more abundant. That we might understand the intersection between Your good hand in time, place, and purpose in our lives right now. As we review what You did in the lives of Mordecai and Esther for Your glory and for Your purposes so long ago, much the same that You want to do right now using each one of us tonight. Thank You, Lord, for this night. We pray that Christ would be glorified. In His name we ask all these things. Amen. One thing that this passage clearly establishes, the text of this message, now is the time to act. Verse 14, it says, "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" One thing we can certainly say with all the support from Holy Scripture, God knows the time. God knows the time. Mordecai and Esther and all the Jews that are in this capital city, interesting idea. It doesn't seem like there's too many still residing in this capital city, because verse 16 talks about the physical possibility of Esther telling Mordecai, "For everybody Jews together and fast." So apparently there must have been some physical possibility that, well, maybe speaking to almost everyone, getting the word out. The book of Esther, supposedly, from what others study the Scripture, tell us that it happened between the events of Ezra chapter 6 and chapter 7. For some reason, I don't know why, Esther and Mordecai and a few other Jews hadn't gone back to Jerusalem. They were still in Shushan. Why didn't they go back? Well, before we put reasons for them, we can say, God knows the time. He knows every place where we are. And there was a purpose. Here, in this chapter, God knows the time. And there is a time of testing. Not only for Esther and Mordecai, but for us. Each day is a day of testing. And I want to have us think about this positively. Tests are good. They help us learn. They help us enjoy. Enjoy life. We participate. Sure, we can fail. But if we don't put the key in the car and turn it on to test the motor, we're not going to get anywhere. At least not in that car. We're going to have to walk or get a ride with somebody else. Tests are good. It's embracing life every day. I saw a little saying on a bulletin board in school. I thought it was kind of funny. It says, as long as there are exams, there will always be prayer in schools. Exams and testing are very necessary. We experience this all the time, most of it unconsciously. And when we forget that God is interested in every detail of our life and that He knows what's happening, whether it be good or whether it be difficult, when we go and act as if He's not existent, how much do we miss? Keep your finger in Esther chapter 4. And let's jump back. Oh, it's actually back in time, or forward in the Bible, to Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3. I would think most of you are aware of possibly the background of the great hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. It says in Lamentations 3:23, the second part of that verse, Great is Thy Faithfulness. That's where the title of that hymn comes from. God knows the time. Here we have for you the viewpoint of the prophet Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, a faithful prophet, a prophet to a people that didn't want to listen. Follow me as we read in chapter 3, verses 22 to 27. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. Hour of testing, but we can be comforted to know that every morning God's mercies are renewed. It says, verse 25, the Lord is good. Bueno es Jehová. Then verse 26 says, it is good. In Spanish it says, bueno es esperar. It's just a little bit poetic and pretty. Verse 27, it is good. Bueno le es al hombre llevar el yugo. It's good. Good. God is good. God knows the time. Is anybody out of work? All your bills paid? Nobody's in debt? Not a penny? I don't think we can say that. He knows the time. He knows your struggles. You can take the point of view of Mordecai. He's the one watching. You know, God is teaching this grandpa lessons that I thought I learned 30 years ago, 20 years ago. He's teaching me the same lessons. That the God that was good enough for me, and still is good enough for me, knows even more in the life of my grandchildren. And cares more about that than I could imagine. And I have to learn that over again. God knows the time, and He knows the struggle. He knows the test. God knows the hour. God knew the time, the feelings, and the faith. We don't get an evidence of fear. When Moses' mother and father put that little baby in the basket, the reed basket, in the river, already had a plan that that mother would become Moses' maid. Surrogate mother, well, just substitute mother, while that Moses was being raised by Pharaoh's daughter. God knew the time. That morning, that afternoon, when that baby was pushed off, God's plan kept going on. When the children of Israel were fleeing, escaping, saying goodbye to slavery, in a hurry, they didn't have time to see the bread rise. They got out of town quick. They went through the mountains, through the deserts. And for a good part of a day. I'm not sure exactly the time. They went through a lot of rough country, almost uninhabitable. Mountains all around, canyons, going through, and they come out to this beach with deep water in front of them. And they get the idea that Pharaoh is charging down their necks, charging down to find them on the beach. Moses is there with all the people. Did that hour take God by surprise? No, he had planned it all ahead of time. He got all the glory. That water opened up, they went through, and Pharaoh and his army were completely destroyed. Take the example of Rahab the harlot. She received those spies. She joined by faith in the God of Israel. She put down that rope out that window. And she made sure that rope stayed outside that window until that army came back. David, in his youth, dad and his older brother said, "It's your turn to watch the sheep." He spent many a day and many an hour out there by himself. I understand that a little better because in Sinaloa, Mexico, we have men that still do that. Men in our church that spent their youth taking care of the cows out in the middle of the desert. And those men can spot rats and snakes and birds and know all these things in details. They say, "See that out there?" And I can't see a thing. But they're watching it. They spent many hours. David spent years of his youth in communion with God. One day a bear came and a lion came. With God's help, David was pretty good with that sling and he had the courage and he killed both of them. Then that morning came when he came to check up on his older brothers and Goliath was out there. See, we could go on and on mentioning these Bible stories that we know about. But let's try to do it with a sanctified imagination and understand that God knows the time. He knew it then and He knows it now. We're just going to change the place a little bit. We have giants today. God wants to show Himself strong. Think of Paul, recently converted. He's in Damascus. He just had the scales off his eyes and he's talking to others, Jesus being the Christ. And just days before, and for many months before, he was persecuting these Christians. And now he's defending them. He's holding up high Jesus. And along comes the night when they have to let Paul over the wall in a basket that he could escape. Did that put fear in Paul's heart? He said, "God's got future plans. And by His grace, He's included me." Wow. That is living. What we've tried to do with our boys, when we were in Greenville, I wanted to include them in everything we did, in every part of our work, just to show them what life is like. They could have a part. That ministry is not something that dad does or something that mom does. Something we all could do. Getting to Mexico was life. It was joyous. It is joyous. We serve a great God. And God certainly knows every hour of every day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. No surprises with God. Intersection of time, place, and purpose. And God knows it all. Second and third point is going to be a little quicker. Now is the time to act. God knows each hour of each day. He is calling us now to respond to Him. Let's go back to Esther. Just by way of reference, in chapter 1, verse 3, it says it was the third year in the reign of Asuero in Spanish. See, Spanish is so nice. English is so difficult. In this King James Bible, they have to separate the names of the people and the town, places, and show me the pronunciation. It was the third year of his reign. Later in chapter 2, verse 16, we have another time reference. Chapter 2, 16 says it was the seventh year of his reign. This is the time when Esther was chosen king. And then, chapter 3, verse 7, it says the 12th year. The time when Haman begins his nasty plot to destroy all the Jews. We have the 12th year of the king's reign. Esther was chosen queen in the 7th year. We have 5 years from the 7th year to the 12th year. Esther kept her mouth shut. It says in chapter 2, verse 10, "For Esther had not showed her people, nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it." Esther didn't let on that she was a Jew. Maybe the town was international, but I'm a little confused. And I'll weigh, everybody knows I'm a gringo. I'm trying to hide it behind this mustache. This summer, I'm going to get a little browner. As soon as I open my mouth, they know I'm a gringo. I'm trying to get better. But Esther didn't open her mouth, and nobody suspected that she was a Jew. How that worked out, I'm not sure. Chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "Esther had not yet showed her kindred nor her people." Repetition of it. But now is the time to act. Things happen. Things happen in our own lives, in particular places. In the lives of our children, in our jobs, in our marriages, in our churches, in our country. It's either the time to react or be proactive. But we have to respond. It's time to take away the secrets. To not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Esther had a problem. She was living in the ivory tower. It wasn't a scholastic tower, it was the king's tower. But apparently in chapter 4, verse 5, she was trying to help Mordecai, her dear cousin, like uncle. He was in the streets with his clothes torn with sackcloth and ashes on, expressions of grief. And she wants to help. She sends him new clothes, says in chapter 4, verse 4. She sent him these new clothes. But Mordecai realizes the new clothes aren't going to change the situation. Drastic measures are called for. A response much more that something exterior is needed. And he doesn't take the clothes. It says, and he received it not. Esther still doesn't have a clue what's going on. It says, verse 5, "Then called Esther for Hatak, one of the king's chamberlains, who he appointed to attend under her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was." What's going on, Mordecai? Why are you walking around the streets like this? Now is the time to act. Mordecai had come up to a problem. It says in chapter 3, the time had come, in verse 4, that he had told them that he was a Jew. He would not bow down in front of Haman. He wasn't going to give his reverence or worship to a mere man. And certainly in that culture, the king was thought of almost like a god, and he served his allegiance for only one God, the true God. It became apparent he was a Jew. And he was tested. It says in chapter 4, verse 2, "And came even before the king's gate, for none might enter into the king's gate clothed with sackcloth. for Mordecai, he could go so far, I'm sure he, if possible, to tell the king of this awful plot. But he couldn't go any further. God shut the door through legal means, through culture. He couldn't go any closer. But he was influential in the life of someone else, the queen on the inside. As parents, you might not be able to do all that your children can do, but you still are influential in their lives. As grandparents. And so, what he couldn't do, he now explains to Esther. Now, young lady, is the time to act. Verse 8. He gave a copy of the writing of the decree that was given at Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and to declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go into the king to make supplications unto him, and to make requests before him for her people. In verse 11, Esther responds with an excuse. It says, all the king's servants and all the people of the king's providence do know. Mordecai knew ahead of time. Verse 11, Esther isn't giving Mordecai anything that he didn't already know. She's providing an excuse. She's admitting her fear. It's not unreal what she's saying. But this is something the Lord had to work out in her life. Also, Mordecai has to accept this. He knows the risk that his dear cousin, younger Esther, is under as well. It's time to act. Get rid of the secrets. Right now, we have come to a defining moment. As it says in verse 14, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? God knows. He has you in mind, Esther, at this very moment. Certainly, it's a time to be informed. It's a time to act. It's a time to take the gospel to those that are still perishing. We have a neighbor beside us, an older lady. I've talked to her once. I need to talk to her again. Claudia is her name, right, Denise? She told us she had never heard what I was explaining to her. Never once in her life. The simple plan of salvation. She had no Bible in her house. This is very rare. A good number of the homes have at least a Bible, even a Catholic Bible. It might not be opened, but it's there. Some have heard the gospel before. This neighbor, Claudia, said she never heard. Now, our hospitals are full of people that are at the point of death. Is anyone going to tell them in their time of need? Or has anyone come before when they're full of health and vibrant to take that gospel to them? It's the time to act now. Work now. For the night is coming. It's a time to see our part in God's plans right now. In your marriage, in this church, Daily Vacation Bible School, week by week, bring somebody into this church. Better yet, take the gospel and sit with them at their kitchen table and open the Bible up. It's time to act. One more point. Verses 16 and 17. Finally, Esther gets the idea. She says, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan. Continues to say, so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. We live in decisive times. times when we need not only to act, understanding that God knows all things, but there comes a time when we have to surrender all to God. Think not of petty issues, of only your life, your things, or your comforts. There are bigger questions at stake. Eternal issues, global consequences, and Esther understood it was time for her to act. Mordecai had told her that she make a request before the king for her people, not only for her own life. We see in verse 17, Mordecai is in agreement with Esther. If I lose her, I lose her. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. And they fasted and prayed. And they didn't know the answer. Chapter 5 and chapter 6 still hasn't been written yet. If I lose her, I lose her. We have to either be a Mordecai or an Esther. But it calls for a decisive time to say, yes, Lord, into your hands I commit my life and the lives of my loved ones. Now is the time to act. Perfect love casts out all fear. Love for God, concern for others. We forget about ourselves. Do right regardless of fear. And God has not given us a spirit of cowardice. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, not cowardice. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Who knoweth whether thou art come? God knows where you have come up to this point at this time in your lives. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom? To whatever circumstance God has brought before your lives right this moment. Your life and the lives of your loved ones. For such a time as this. How are you going to respond? Are you going to live as if it never happens? Or are you going to say, God, I want to walk in your will, in your presence, with your power? He delights in including us to do all things for his glory.